we're back to our brother Sam, having difficulty to rephrase it, but don't we need, as a person, don't we need to have the truth presented to us first,
yes,
and to have a knowledge of it, a correct knowledge of it, first, before we can then correctly apply the truth? And therefore, isn't that what we're saying here to start with? Don't you know? First, you've got to know it. Once you know the truth correctly, then afterwards you then apply it. So that is our responsibility in the assembly to present the truth to everyone and trust the Spirit of God to enable that person to then live in the good of it. Because if you don't have the truth, you're going to be walking incorrectly.
And that's the trend of the writings of the Apostle Paul. He presents the truth in Ephesians. There are 6 chapters. The first 3 chapters are all solid truth. And out of the trinal aspect of it, and then when you come to chapter 4, 5, and 6, it's the practical aspect of things. And brethren, let's not ask it in the wrong way. So many times we ask, well, give me something practical. I am against that personally, because I have to give you what is the doctrine of it for you to know what to practice. So practical stuff does not come before the doctrinal stuff. It has to be on the order that you have mentioned.
That's not just a warning. Remember when Paul wrote Romans, the believers, and many of the believers may have not understood the truth that they've entered into. They were baptized. Yea, because remember Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch says, here's water. What permits me not to be baptized? There was not the question of, first I've got to instruct you and understand it all, then I can have you practically go into the water for baptism. He was baptized that moment, and he went on rejoicing. And later, which is almost AD 60, this instruction is given to the assembly to understand the mind of God in connection with our baptism, which I didn't understand at first when I was baptized. Now, there are many young people here who may have gone into baptism. Now Paul is saying, I want you to know now. So listen up. So that you understand what baptism means practically. So you've entered into it, practically the day you were baptized. Now he wants you to understand what you've entered into. And that is, so we can be blessed that way. So not to, because sometimes we may hold off, does someone understand baptism? Should we baptize them? No, as long as I understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. So just a word of warning.
My brother mentioned Acts. And in the book of Acts, the usual experience was when they believed, they were immediately baptized. And so there was a connection that was rather close between their conversion and their entering into the waters of baptism. But today, because of the confusions of Christianity and feeling all kinds of notions about it that we'll hold off for years and years, someone's been saved, and then they decide they're going to be baptized, so things of that nature. And I think that in some of my Baptist friends, you have to have a baptismal class. You have to go through 3 or 4 or 5 weeks of learning baptism before you'll be baptized. Not so in the New Testament. They believed and they were baptized.
I just want to say that I'm in full agreement, because there are certain truths that could be applied to the young child and he might not understand fully. But nevertheless, when there is a measure of understanding, for example, when you go to Acts chapter 2, when this baptism really started, the Apostle Peter dwells on it. He tells them, save yourselves from this wicked generation. What must we do? So there was, he was expounding of what baptism, in one sense, speaks of, and then he baptizes them. I'm in full agreement with you, dear brother, that sometimes there are certain truths applicable to the children where we don't expect them to know all things. But when there is a measure of understanding, hopefully when this young man wants to come and say, I want to be baptized, let's take it as a young man. I'm going to explain to him what baptism is. He might not understand it fully. Yes, we all know that. But we have to present what it is, and then, amen, we'll...
Actually, it appears when we study Acts that in the presentation of the gospel, baptism is discussed. Because why would they even ask to be baptized? There's we can use the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. It doesn't seem to be in the presentation there, and then the eunuch is desiring baptism. It may have been that was part of the presentation, but not recorded for us. So, it's such a significant thing. And the link here in chapter 6 and also to the crucifixion of Christ, when we think of these facts, Christ died, was buried, and rose again, well, that's a fact. But what's the doctrine? The doctrine is, I have died, buried, and rose again. Christ was crucified. I have been crucified. Why? I'm directly linked. This is knowledge, everyone. This is not. We need to understand that what Christ has done for us, He is now doing in us. He's linking us with Himself now in the very things He experienced. Of course, it's a spiritual link that we, in effect, when Christ went through these things, as followers of Christ, as believers in Him, we have positionally done the same thing. This is very profound. Did you know that? Many people know that Christ died, and some know He rose again. But they don't know that they died with Christ, and that they were buried with Christ, and that they rose again. I trust that we will know that. And now it has a direct link with our attitude and ideas about rebellion and sin. And I liken this to this example. There was this pig on a farm who used to wallow in the mud. And there was a small puddle of mud. And one day, the owner of the farm took the pig out of the mud and had a bucket of water. Enough water to wash off all the mud. Well, the pig had this nature to want to be in the mud. And now the puddle of mud is a pond. It's a big pond. Ah, more mud. So the pig goes to the mud and gets even more filthy. Well, the farmer has more resources, more water to wash that mud off. And it brings the pig out and it washes it down. Finally, the pig sees a big lake of mud, you know, and it back into the mud. That's the nature of the pig, to go back into the mud. And the farmer finally takes that pig out and he has more than enough clean, fresh water to clean off that mud. But then something happens to the pig. It dies. It has no desire to go into the mud. And something else happens. It rises again, not as a pig, but as a son of that farmer. And it has no desire to do that. And that, figuratively speaking, is what God has done for us. We have died. Now, I know these analogies don't make a very clear link with what Christ has done. The dignity of this, Christ has linked us with Himself. Christ died, but we died with Him. It's a very significant point. We need to know that.